Hi, Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping. All right, well, it's good to be with y'all tonight. Just wanted to talk to you a few minutes. I guess Shelley's going to tell you we've got, if you've looked at the program, you see we've got several people coming up, and I just kind of want to give you a little bit of an overview of what we do, and then I'm going to let each person speak on their own area. And somehow or another, I left off Brandon over here amongst all the craziness we've had going on, but I'm going to single him out. But Brandon's going to speak after Eric, I think, and he's going to speak about Georgia Regional. But somehow or another, in all the craziness, I don't know what happened. Anyway, and I left Esther off the board thing, so now I'm losing my mind. So, you know, we really, God has put on our heart the people that are out there in the places, I think the people that Jesus ministered to. Not that other people aren't doing it, but that's the kind of people God really put on our heart, the forgotten, the least of these, whatever you want to call it. The ones Shelley said, that the ones that have lost hope and don't have any hope. And we're bringing the only hope there is, right? Jesus Christ. And James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And if you remember, the last thing Jesus did as he was dying on the cross in John 19, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. So what was the last thing Jesus did? He took care of his mother, right? That was the very last thing he did before he died on the cross and accomplished all that was going to happen. But most of the people that we minister to are people that can't get out and go to church services and Bible studies. We do go to some people that are able to, but most of them don't have anybody to come teach the Bible to them. They don't have anybody that really visits them. And we provide full church services for the nursing homes and assisted living and also some of the other facilities at the prison. And over at Coastal Harbor, we do a little bit of that too, a full church service. You know, when I first started doing this, I would go out to the nursing home and I would see people come in and they would sing a song, they'd read a verse, they'd read a poem, and then they'd shake a few hands and they'd be gone. And I said, they need to have more than that. And I was like, I saw a couple other people. I said, well, let me go see what they got going on. And so I went, and that's about what everybody was doing. And I said, these people have been in church all their life, and now they don't have church. So we sing the old songs. We've got some large print hymnals, and we sing the old songs, and we go and we sing for 20 or 30 minutes, and then we preach for 20 or 30 minutes. And no more of them go to sleep on us than people in a regular church service, okay? I just let you know, they say, well, don't they go to sleep on you? Or that's kind of too long, isn't it? I said, listen, I don't have any more go to sleep on me there than I have in a church. So, you know, that's the way it is. You know, you always got somebody in church going to fall asleep on you, right? So, you know, some of the places we go are not all of them, but we do birthday cards and Christmas cards, and we also do some lap blankets, and we've done adopt a nursing home resident at the end of the year, where we find people that don't have family and we get people to adopt them at the end of the year and get them a, you know, something they need, some clothes, some shoes, some socks, something that they need, right, or something that they want, because some of these folks, they just don't have any family. And I don't know if statistics are right, but they say about 70% of the people in the nursing home don't have anybody to visit them. But I've seen some crazy, unbelievable reactions just from birthday cards. One day we were over at Savannah Beach, and we went over to Oceanside, the one that's closed now. But we went over there, and we were, you know, we only give them out a couple of times a month when we're there. And so we were walking around handing out cards, and I found the guy. He was up near the front, and I hand him a card, and he just kind of starts shaking his head, and he's sitting there shaking his head, and I thought he was mad and upset with me, right? And I was sitting there going, "I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. It's late. We couldn't be here on your birthday. I'm sorry." And all of a sudden, he just, as he was shaking his head, he says, "Man, you're the best." And then he looked at me and he says, "Man, I'm so excited. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight." And from a birthday card, I've seen people tear up over a birthday card. Just literally, "This is for me." And then they start crying. And it's amazing what just something as simple as a birthday card would do. And some of these folks, we don't know how long it's been since somebody's given us a birthday card. One of the guys that died not too long ago, he said, "Well, I got one birthday card this year, and I got one Christmas card, and they all came from y'all. And that was the only cards I got, but they all came from y'all," right? And I think these are the very people that Jesus went to when he was on earth, right? I want to read this, but everybody we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility or the wheelchair, or the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents aren't doing right and their cries, "We want a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We minister to those locked up at the jail and the prison physically. Those locked up in addictions to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from being who Jesus wants them to be. You know, he came to give us life and life abundantly. He said, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be what? Free indeed," right? And these people aren't free, but we, through the gospel, can set them free. I was thinking about one guy over at one of the correctional facilities, a guy named Reginald. He said, "Pray for me. I'm 26, and the only thing I've ever done consistently in my life is get locked up. I want God's Holy Spirit to fill me and change me. Help me to change. I want to be consistent in a good way." He says, "I want to be grateful and content. Please pray these things for me. I'm praying as well." Listen at this. He says, "Pray that the hate and bitterness leave me. I'm adding works to my faith, and it is a challenge." He got it. Did you hear that? He's adding works to his faith. He's got the faith, and now he's wanting to add the works and become who Jesus wants him to be. You know, I heard years ago one guy said this. This is it. So if you're a former Marine, which I'm sorry, there's no former Marines. I forgot that. But the job of Marines, somebody said half jokingly, is to kill people and to break things. And one guy, as a former Marine, said, "I can vouch for that. But it's true, while fighting our nation's war, the Marines uphold a strict moral code. Now imagine a force three times the size of the Marines, over 700,000 men, and there's women too, many of who are trained to kill people and break things, but who lack any kind of moral code. What would happen if they were unleashed on unsuspecting communities all over America?" Guess what, folks? They are. Every year. Ever since 2004, and it's going to happen again this year, there's over 1,800 people a day being released on the streets from America's prisons. And you know what? They're not ready to be there. They're not ready to be there. And, you know, when we go to the Bible studies in the church and jails and the prisons, and some of the guys, they just look at you and they look at you with this look like, "Can there really be hope for me?" One guy asked me one night, and I was talking about the downward spiral, and I said, "Well, you can also spiral back up." That's Proverbs 15:24. And I didn't write that down, but, you know, they look in their eyes, they're seeking for something they never known, that peace that passes all understanding, and that fulfillment that's only gained by Christ. And you know what? They're seeking satisfaction the only way they know how, through drugs and alcohol and money, sex, and power. And I don't know if all of y'all were, at what age you were saved. I wasn't saved at a real early age, and so I kind of can understand where these folks are coming from, and I think that's one reason God gave me this kind of ministry to begin with. But you know, Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power to change people, to transform lives, and to make them new creations. It's a power to make a thief an honest man, make a drunk quit drinking, an addict quit doing drugs. And that's what we're doing, is we're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I'll say a couple more things and I'll be through. Years ago, I guess it was at least 10 years ago, Evangelism Explosion said it cost about $33,000 for a church to save a single soul. And Dr. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ and How to Win Someone to Christ wrote that it takes 6 pastors and 1,000 lay people to win one person to Christ. Did you hear that? 6 pastors and 1,000 lay people. And, you know, our budget, just to kind of lay that out, I haven't talked a whole lot of numbers, but our budget's usually $80,000 to $90,000 a year. And I'm going to put my accountant over here, Jerry McNair. If you need a good accountant, go see Jerry McNair, CPA. Anyway, but we had a board meet recently, and he figured out that every service we do is about $40 per service based on that. We do a lot with a little bit of money. We're very frugal, and I know you can't put a price on a soul, but what I'm trying to say is we do a lot with a little. We're going to do about 2,300 services this year. And you know, I'm not trying to beat the church up. I'm just saying that all of us as God's people are supposed to be out there ministering to people, telling people about Christ. And this is where the Lord's put us. And we do a lot with not a lot of money. And I think my wife's already said it, but I just want to kind of reiterate it, that we don't charge any of the places we go to. We don't get any money from any of the people that we go to. Occasionally somebody in assisted living will give us a little bit of money or something, but everything we provide is basically at no charge to all the facilities. We're a totally and completely faith-based ministry that is supported by churches, individuals, and businesses that are willing to help us to reach out to those the world's forgotten. And so as you listen to the rest of these guys, each of them has an area. Brandon goes over to Georgia Regional. Since I forgot to put him in the list, you can write that down, but that's Brandon Beard. And each one of these guys has got an area that they kind of go to, and some of us kind of cross over a little bit. But we minister just about everywhere that people can't get out and go to church. And so I'm going to turn it over to Matt.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good evening. Thank you all for being here this evening. It's good to see you all. A lot of familiar faces, a lot of people we haven't seen in a while, but small world. But we're all here for the same reason, I hope, and that is to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus' last command, Matthew 28:19-20, said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." The job we have as the church is not just to make decisions, not just to make converts, not just to get people baptized, but it's to make disciples. A disciple is a student of a teacher, plain and simple. That's why Jesus said, make disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so as I've been preaching in the nursing home services I've been doing, I've been going through the commands of Jesus, starting with his very first command in Matthew chapter 4. It's his first command that he gave to a lot of his disciples. It was the command, follow me. When we are serving the Lord, we are doing it as imitators of Christ. We are serving like Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If someone came in here and said, follow me, what would your first question be? Where are we going? Right? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you want to know how much you're following Jesus, ask this question: are you being a fisher of men? And that doesn't mean, are you praying the prayer of salvation with people? There are different jobs in the harvest. Paul said, some sow and some water, and God gives the increase. But are you a laborer in God's harvest? See, we're here to invite you to come join us in the harvest that God has blessed His love ministries with. God has given us a field that many have overlooked, that many have forgotten about. And we want to invite you to come join in that work with us. Jesus sent His disciples out two by two. I remember hearing John Maxwell, great teacher on leadership, one time. He said, never do ministry alone. He said, in the Greek, that means take someone with you. But the idea is that when you serve the Lord, after you've been serving the Lord, then you take someone with you. And then after you take someone with you for a while, you let them serve and you watch them. And then after a while, they go serve the Lord all by themselves. And then they take someone with them. And it's a process that's multiplying. Right? The church should be multiplying. The first command that God gave was to be fruitful and multiply. And so we should be making disciples that are making other disciples. I got to tell you about the best volunteer I've ever had. Every time I go, they ask me, well, where is this person? Right? Why did you bring this person with you? The best volunteer I've ever had, she couldn't explain the gospel. She couldn't tell you one verse. My 3-year-old little girl. She goes in that nursing home and she just goes up to people. She just hugs them and tells them she loves them. And they just, there was a lady that I went to, I visited every time I went at the nursing home. Every time I went to her room. And she had been through some hardship, and she said, you know, one day I'm going to surprise you. One day I'm going to be up there. But every time I went, she's like, no, not tonight. You know, my little girl went to that room one time, and that lady was at the service. We want y'all to come join in this work, to experience the joy that we have in just sharing His love. It's not our love. We don't have anything to offer God. The next command Jesus gave, He actually went to the Beatitudes and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And when He uses this word poor, He's not talking about someone who has little. He's talking about someone who has nothing, someone who's reduced to begging. Right? And when it comes to what we have to offer God, what do we have to offer God? I mean, He spoke this universe into existence. He holds it all together. What do we have to offer Him? Nothing, really. And yet, God values us. Jesus went on in the Sermon on the Mount to say, you are the light of the world. You know, there are two lights to the world. There are two physical lights to the world. There's the greater to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser to rule the night, the moon. But you know, the moon doesn't actually generate any light of its own. The moon just reflects the light of the sun. In the same way, the love that we share is not generated from ourselves. It's not like we have to sit around and work up this love for people. It's a reflection of God's love in our lives. There are different seasons when the moon is shining full and bright, and you go outside, and it's almost like it's daylight outside, right? And there are other times when you go out and you look up and the moon's nowhere to be found. Why? Because the earth has come between the sun and the moon. And the moon is in the shadow of the earth. And sometimes as believers, we're in the shadow of this world and we're not reflecting God's love in our dark times. But we want you to join with us. We want to fully reflect the light of God's love so that people will see, so that people will know the good news that no matter how far short we've fallen, how badly we've messed up, how little we have to offer God, how spiritually destitute we are, regardless of all of that, while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, He demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we want y'all to come join in serving widows and orphans, practicing that pure and undefiled religion. Religion is a word that's gotten a bad rap these days, right? You hear people say Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with God. Well, if you define religion the way the Pharisees define religion, if you define religion the way people outside the church define religion, then yeah, Christianity is not a system of works that's meant to appease God. But Christianity is a religion as defined by the Bible. Pure and undefiled religion is to love widows and orphans and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. And so we want to invite you to join in the work that we're doing, loving the widows, the orphans, those in prison, those without families. We want more than anything to see you guys out there with us, to have you guys remembering us in prayer. Look, God will take care of us. We have full faith in Him. But we want to invite you to share in the blessing that God is doing through His love ministries. And we're so glad that you're here tonight to join in us and to hear what God is doing through this ministry. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, welcome everyone. I'm very glad to see everyone here tonight. My name is Eric, and I am so blessed to be a part of His love ministry. I don't even know how God put me in this place, but I just really know that, you know, I love what His love does, that we do go and reach out those whom the world has forgotten. Places like, you know, nursing homes and the prison ministry, which, you know, we have, you know, having our Lord Jesus and having the gift of salvation, it is a privilege to be able to share that gift with others who don't know. And it's, I don't even know how people live their life and without God. And so, you know, we have we have that gift. So we have to share, you know, the light of God's love to those who have not received, for those who are lost. So we go to, I recently just started Greenbrier. And with Greenbrier, we have children who have been either abandoned or runaways. Recently I found out that a few of the kids that was staying there, parents was homeless, parents was in jail. We have, you know, prayer time, and I ask for prayers, and the kids, you know, share that, you know, pray for my uncle, my father who's in prison. And these are kids, you know, ranging from, you know, middle school, some in elementary school. And these kids, born in adversity, and, you know, they can't provide for themselves, so they have to, you know, have, you know, adults to take care of them. And when adults doesn't take care of them, basically they're left to raise themselves up, or they get into trouble. And that is, you know, really unfortunate. But, you know, I believe, you know, that the kids are the future. If we want, you know, to have a better future, we have to instill in the young ones, you know, which we reach out to in His love, to teach them, you know, godly values, to teach them that there is always hope in Christ Jesus. Because without Him, you know, what else do we have? But these kids, they are desperate. They're desperate for a change, and they are willing to, you know, to try, you know, religion. And it's, you know, sadly that, you know, they see the environment that they're in, which pushes them to drugs or, you know, to stealing or whatever they can to help them, you know, provide or have their needs met. But it's been a lot of challenges working with the youth at the Youth Attention Center, and sometimes I have to put myself in their situation. When I was young, you know, I didn't really know any better. You know, having the right guidance at home, it's great. But you know, your peers also influence you to do drugs or to, you know, to steal and do whatever else that everyone else is doing. So we have to really help them change, you know, their outlook in life, that there is another way. There is another way, and that is through a relationship with God. Knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a new person. You know, we share that, you know, Jesus does not judge you, but loves you unconditionally, knowing that, you know, God displayed His love for us while we were sinners, while we were messing up. And my heart goes out to those kids who, you know, don't have love at home. Because, you know, often, you know, we hear about, even in Coastal Harbor, how they're in this treatment facility, and Coastal Harbor is a pretty rough place because a lot of kids act up, and they're basically being there themselves could be endangered from, you know, seeing other behaviors that is far worse than theirs. But the place at home is worse than, it's, you know, the place at the Coastal Harbor is better than their place at home. So it's sad to see the, you know, the state that these kids are in. But I am so blessed to be there, you know, to be able to share the love of God through His love. And I wanted to mention what Marty mentioned, that I believe the power of gospel, because it is the gift of salvation, and God has implored us to share, you know, the gospel. And I know that not everyone is called to minister. Not every one of us can help, you know, someone in certain situations, but, you know, we can help someone. And here is a way for you to reach out for those lost souls through His love. You know, we can help those who are helpless. We can give hope to our hopeless. And, you know, I believe that, you know, that faith is born in adversity. I believe that hope can come to those who are in prison. And I believe that Jesus can change anything in our lives. There is nothing greater than that we will experience in life that is greater than God's power to work, to change the situation we're in. Part of my heart going out to the ministry that we do is me being a youth and getting in trouble, you know, as a young child, going, doing drugs, getting into, you know, places where I shouldn't have been. And so I know the power of the gospel. I know the power that it has to change people's lives, And I wanted to share, you know, that same gift of God in us. I wanted to share that same power, you know, for those who don't know that there is another way, that you can change. You don't have to continue to do the same things you've been doing. And it is such a joy to see that, you know, when I could be having a bad week or a bad month, you know, that when I'm feeling dry, you know, people get saved. And that is the joy of being a part of His love ministry. You know, that the joy of salvation is through Christ. And, you know, we have, you know, the comforts of having our Lord to pray, and He comes to us, you know, at our darkest hour. And we have, you know, the privilege of His blessings, you know, daily provisions every day. But here we have people who have no resources, or, you know, they don't see another way, but they look to the world and they look for people to help them. So we have to point them to the right direction. You know, we point them to Jesus. We can do above and beyond whatever their need is. We can do above and beyond, you know, what they could ever ask and hope for. And so, like I said, I was troubled, and I had made wrong choices in my life. But I know that, you know, Romans 8 says that, you know, all things work together for good. You love God. And because God never left me, He never abandoned me, I love that His forgiveness and the power of the Holy Spirit to change people's lives. And I wanted to share that, you know, to these young folks and to those who are in prison. And it's such a joy and a privilege to see that they are trusting in the Lord, that they are seeking God, you know, in the time when they, you know, they really need Him. So, you know, I thank you for your time coming tonight. I would like to ask for a prayer, especially in the Youth Detention Center. You know, we have, I think you have a schedule of the list when we do service. So if you could, you know, take time out and pray for us. And, you know, the prayer of power, the power of prayer is, it's unbelievable. We have, you know, people that always prays for us. And I can, you know, always tell when people are praying, because, you know, the kids are less disruptive, they're paying attention, and, you know, always, it's always a joy when I see people, you know, get saved. Just this week, two kids got saved. Last week, you know, one child got saved. And that is all a part of what we do, you know, that we bring others to the light of God's love. You know, we don't have to, you know, go look for light, but we are the light into the world. Amen? You know, we have the gift of God. And so it is, you know, a privilege, and it is, you know, our burden to share it in the life of others who don't have God's love. Amen? Thank you.
All right. How y'all doing? My name is Brandon Beard. I've been working with His Love Ministries for, I always say a year, no matter how many years pass, but I think it was 2 years, something like that. And I remember when I first got saved. The moment I got saved, the only thing God put in my heart was to talk to people about Him. Because I know the lies I brought into, and the lies that the world was telling me, and the lies that the world tricked me with, the traps that the world set out. And the only burden I had in my heart was to tell people the truth. I locked myself in my room and I read my Bible from started in Genesis 1 and just kept going. I'm married. I have 3 kids and I neglected them. So I don't recommend that, because once I got saved, I just locked myself in a room and was reading. And I know better now though. But at the beginning, I just wanted to learn as much as I could. And as I was reading, as I was soaking it in, I just knew that Why am I learning this? Why am I studying? Why am I listening to tapes and all these other things and buying all these books? It's not just for me. It's to go out there and share it. Go out there and share my family first. And that's what I did. I gave the gospel to my kids. And I sat them down and explained them who Jesus Christ is. I explained them the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I talked to my wife even more in depth because you could say you're a Christian, right? But if you don't know the gospel, it's not just about what you know here about God, right? It's what you know here. It's about a personal relationship. Eternal life is not just heaven. It's a relationship. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's a relationship. And eternal life starts here, and you just take that relationship home. But it's about knowing God intimately and personally. And I wanted to explain that to my family. And I did. And through a chain of miraculous events, I linked up with His Love Ministries. And now I go to Coastal Harbor Monday through Saturday. I go to Georgia Regional Monday through Saturday. Two times I go to Coastal Harbor. And when you go in there and you talk and you see people responding, you see people really listening and seem like they just getting it. And then you come back the next week and it seemed like you took a step further and a step further. And then you come back and it's like, it's a step backwards again. And I say, and you might say, why is it a step backwards? Because we're not the only ones out there. See, we got the truth. But there's more of the lie going around. And if we don't do something, somebody else is. It's no secret. If I don't go out there and tell them the truth, there's going to be many people that go out there and tell them a lie. If I'm not in Coastal Harbor or Georgia Regional, the lie's going to be there. The enemy's going to be there. It's no secret. And when you go to Georgia Regional, we have to because that's a government facility, so anybody can go in there. So I go and I talk to them, I'm telling them the truth about Christ, and then they come and it's open so they can ask any questions, say whatever they want. And they tell us about this person said, you know, Jesus is just a way. And they go in and see this person every week. And this person tell them you can mix Jesus with whoever else you want to mix him with. You're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's hard. It takes a toll on you as an individual because you know the truth. You know what they're buying into because you brought into it. At least I did. You know the only way out. You know the only light. And you just want them to see it so bad. You just want them to see it. You want them to understand it. You want to perceive it. You want them to receive it. But the enemy doesn't want that. And the enemy is working overtime. And it's sad to see sometimes the enemy working harder than us. It's sad to see sometimes I get down and the enemy working harder than me. We look around and it looks like the enemy's winning. We know that's not true because God's on his throne. But when you just look at face value, you say, where is everybody? Where is everybody? See, everybody got a mission. It might not be His Love. It might not be Coastal Harbor. It might not be Georgia Regional. But if you are a saint, if you're in Christ, you have a mission. And God placed everybody somewhere to fulfill their mission. And I don't know what your mission is. But I know if you don't fulfill your mission, if you don't go out and reach people for God, the enemy's going to reach them. When you take that day off, the enemy is going to go even harder. The enemy takes no days off, and no facility, and no city, and anything. So I just ask, you know, I keep it short. I just ask that you pray. I ask that you pray for us, that you pray for our strength, that you pray for to give the people eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive. I pray that you pray for the staff that's working there because they even hear the gospel. We minister even to the staff there. It's nothing more better, I mean more better, English, right? There's nothing better than seeing when you're speaking to these people and you got the staff just there, you know, first they just bring them in and then they just standing there looking around, and then the more you get into the gospel, the more you start rolling out the truth, you see a change. They look at you different. They might sit down. And now while you reading the Bible, explaining it, and going through your study, you're looking around and they're in tune, eyes fixed on you. They're following every single word. Why? Because that's light. The truth, it ain't my word. I'm not that smart. It's God's word. And when they're hearing the word, because faith comes from what? Hearing by the word of God, right? And when they're hearing the word of God, it pierces. And they fixate, and you can see the light bulb going off. And they starting to think and run these things through their mind. They starting to think about their actions. Why? Because light exposes your deeds, right? Don't John say that? They stay away from the light because it will do that. It will expose you. The truth of God. So it's exposing them, and they run it through their mind, and you can see it. You can literally see it on their faces. And you can see it on the faces of the patients that's in there. Or the adults in the Coastal Harbor adult facility. I don't go to the children's facility, only the adults' facility. And you can see it in their eyes. When the truth is hitting them, you can see the conviction fall over them. I don't know if they get saved. Some make professions of faith that day. And so some don't. Some make professions of faith in the next week. They're trying to add another book with the Bible. They're trying to add a different Jesus or a different gospel. But all I know is we need your help. And truth be told, God doesn't need me or anybody, because he's going to get his job done regardless of what I do. If I stop today, he'll reach who he has to reach. But God invites us, like everybody else was saying, to be a part of something bigger. God gives us a privilege. It's a privilege to be a part of something bigger. So when we go to heaven, we don't go empty-handed. When we go to heaven, we got some crown to throw at his feet or something. It's a privilege. And I pray that y'all pray for us. I pray if you find in your hearts to partner with us, you do. But even if it's not this ministry, if it's not with us, do something. Because the enemy's out there. And the enemy's doing something as we speak right now. And then tomorrow, the enemy's back at it. And then the day after that, the enemy's back at it. We see it's not a secret. All these religions and all these philosophies and humanism and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We go down the list. That's all the enemy. We know the source. And it's infiltrating all these places we go to because it's infiltrating people. And some of these people brought into that lie. And then when they get there, like Matt spoke about, like Eric spoke about, they're hopeless. Why? Because they tried the world. They saw the shiny thing. And they reached and grabbed it. And it was new for a second, and then what? The shine fell off. It was old, so they said, this ain't fulfilling me like I thought it would. So they go chasing something else, and they grab it. And they say, it was new for a second, but it's not fulfilling me like I thought it was. And it's that downward spiral. Because they're looking for hope in dead things. They're looking for life where there is none. Everybody who in this room that's a born-again Christian has the truth of life. You have it. Now it's up to you if you're going to give it. Because death is given every day. Are we going to share it? Do we care enough? Do we take responsibility? People are going to die and go to hell. It's not a secret. The key is, what are we doing to point more people to Christ? What are we doing to see souls get saved? I can't save nobody. Y'all can't, but we can point them to the Savior. We can point them to the Word. You can point them to the truth, and we point them to Jesus Christ. I promise he'll do the rest. All we do is what God asks us to do, this little small portion. Well, I appreciate your time. I thank y'all for coming out. Hope y'all enjoyed the food. We got more speakers coming up, and thank you.
I want to thank each and every one of y'all for being here today. The worst thing in the world that you could ever do is tell six Baptist preachers that they've got 5 minutes to talk. Worst thing in the world you could ever do. Guys, I look around this room and I see a lot of folks, a lot of faces that have come out and helped us in the ministry in the past. And I know that you know that we know that what we're doing is having an impact in this world. And it's a privilege and a joy to be able to do that. It is a privilege and a joy. One of the greatest expressions that a child of God can make is to share the grace that has been given to him. That's one of the greatest things that we can do. God forgave you. He poured his blood out for you on a cross. And now he asks you to go out and to share that forgiveness and that grace with others. And guys, this is a broken and a busted world that we live in. Now what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to bite the side of my cheek and I'm going to stop preaching because I was told to tell you all about what we do. It's very hard for me to do this, but I work for Coastal Harbor Ministries. We have six different groups of people that we work with. Michelle's going to tell you about the girls. I got to bite my cheek again. I can't talk about the gals. I'm going to leave that alone. We have kids ranging from about 8 years old to about 18 years old. Once they turn about 18, they go to jail. These kids are behavioral problems. Some of them are suicidal, homicidal. Some of them are self-harmers. Some of them have, there's no way to control them. And some of them are just kids that are just mixed up. But we have about 120 children in this facility. And we go in every week on Sunday. We give them a one-hour church service. And then we do our best during the week to come in and give them a one-hour Bible study. And that's more than most of our church folks get these days. These kids are getting a full church service on Sunday. And then on one night of the week, they're getting a Bible study. Most of our churches nowadays aren't even having Wednesday night Bible studies anymore. So these kids are getting a lot. And we're thankful for the privilege and the joy of being able to do that. So we work with the kids. And they also, in that same facility, I have one group of adults that are in drug and alcohol detox program. They come in there. These people don't have insurance. They're indigent. They don't have any means of paying for their medical help or support. And they'll bring them in there and they'll keep them in that facility for 10 to 14 days and dry them out. They detox them. And so we work with these people. We go in and 1 hour a week and 2 hours during the week. We go in. We go on Sunday and give them church. And then on Tuesday and Thursday nights, we go back in and give them a Bible study again. So these people get 3 hours of Bible study, and that's more than most folks get in a week. They get 3 hours of Bible study. And then they have another facility right down the street. And in this facility, I have one group of drug and alcohol detox. These are adults. Most of them have, they do have insurance, but they'll keep them somewhere from 6 days to 6 weeks. And they work with them in their drug and alcohol rehabilitation. I also have two other units in that same building. And in that building, we work with a group called New Beginnings. And these people are people who are bipolar. These people are schizophrenic. These people are delusional. And it's a rough crowd. Matter of fact, I'm the only one I can get to go in there. I can't get none of my other folks to go in and work with this crowd. If you've ever seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that's what my Sunday church services look like. But I will tell you this. They're the best singing group in all of my facilities. That group could put any Baptist choir to shame. They love to sing, and we have a good time in there. But so I have that group, and I also have a group of folks that are suicidal. And that's one of the hardest groups to reach, guys. When you've gotten to the point where you're ready to take your own life, you are really at rock bottom. And the only thing that is going to rescue somebody from that is the love and the light and the life and the truth of God. And it works. Guys, it works. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have been noticing, but we've been flashing a lot of pictures up on the screen. And one of the things that I love about going to church and watching missionaries come in is all of the pictures of the kids that they're reaching and all of the good things that they're doing. Guys, you're not going to see any of that up here. Unfortunately, the children we work with have been physically and sexually abused. They're self-harmed. They're cut up. They're ripped up. They're hurt. They're hurt children. And not only that, they're protected by Privacy Act, so we can't just come and show you who these kids are. And here's the sad thing, guys. These people are the people that society is covering up and trying to act like everything's okay. These are the people that they're slamming pills down their throat and saying, hush, just be quiet. You'll be okay. Right? And here's the thing. I want you to think about this, and I'm challenging you to think about this. Guys, I've run into folks from our communities out there. I've run into kids from our communities out there. I've ran into kids from almost every church in Savannah out there. Our homes, our communities, our cities are being ripped apart by the enemy. He's going in and he is destroying these children. And it's not just those folks. It's us. Every one of you in here knows somebody in here who has a kid that you're dealing with. And this is a problem, God. This is going to be our next generation. We take these kids and open up a Bible and tell them to turn to Genesis, and most of them don't know what Genesis is. They have no standard of morality to even grasp and to understand what right and wrong is. But guys, please understand me. I'm not saying all of this to make you feel bad. When the missionaries always come to our churches and show the missionary reports, the first thing I want to do is go be a missionary. I'm ready to just give my life and go overseas and work with these poor kids. That's not the story here, guys. And I'm not saying these things to make you feel sad, because I do want you to know this. The people at Rock Bottom are the people that are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't have anything to offer. They have nothing. They're at Rock Bottom and they're hearing the word of God and they're responding. Why? Because it's hope. And it's a hope that they need, and it's a hope that we need as well. And so each and every one of you in this room are special to us. And especially the faces I look around this room and see the ones of you who have come and helped. And we need more of that. Guys, let me give you an example. Last night, I had a group of 8 girls. I'm sorry, Shelly, I'm not going to talk about the girls, but I had a Bible study with some girls last night, 8 girls. And when we got done with that class, these kids were crying and they were coming up to me and said, Pastor Ronnie, will you please talk to me about this? And I'd have 5 minutes to go in the corner and I'd try to talk to one, and 2 more were tapping me on the shoulder saying, can you please talk to me? Please pray with me. Please help me, help me, help me. And guys, I literally have to walk out of the room and go to another class and start preaching. And all we're asking for is somebody who can love a child and hug them and pray with them and say, Jesus loves you. And let me show you through the scripture. It takes an hour out of your day out of the week. 1 hour. Just to come out to a nursing home with Marty, whether it be to roll somebody down to a church service. And guys, this is what you've been going to church for. You go on Sunday and you go on Wednesday and you get fed the word of God and you get taught that this is what we're supposed to do. And then we go home and sit the other 6 days, 5 days of the week and just get fat. Guys, that's not what it's about. You're being fed and you're learning the word of God and you're being reminded of the promises that you have in Jesus Christ. Because you are his disciple and you're supposed to go out just like Matt said, just like everybody else said, and do what he's called us to do, and that's to share his love. About 4 years ago, God graced me with the joy and privilege of meeting Marty and Shelley and His Love Ministry. We were sitting on a softball field on a bench together, and I said, I know God's got a call on my life, and I don't know what it is. And he said, well, come out and help me out. And he put me in that facility with those kids, and one day I fell in love. And I wish I could stay up here all day, but I can't. Guys, I can't tell you in 5 minutes what God is doing through this work and what he's doing with these kids. I can't tell you that. I wish I could. But please come and find out. And if you can't come, Brandon nailed it on the head. Pray for us, guys. The enemy is trying to shut us out of these places. The enemy is trying to keep us away from these kids. The enemy is trying to keep us away from what we've been called to do, and we need your prayer. We need your prayers, and we need your support. And one thing I never like to say is we need financial support. Guys, I give out about 300 Bibles about every 3 months, I guess. About 100 Bibles a month I give out. These Bibles, they don't cost much. They're $2. But that's $600 every 3 months for us to go out and give these kids a Bible. Some of these kids never have a Bible. And so we need your financial support. But I don't want to focus on the money, guys. We need your hearts. We need you on your knees praying for this ministry. And we need you putting your mouth and your feet and your hands where your heart is. And come out and help us. Come out and help us to share the love of Christ with others. One more thing. I do want to mention this one last thing and then I'll be done. A lot of you might not know this, but we do actually have a Facebook page. And every Wednesday or so, Marty will post a sermon on there. Every day we have a through the Bible study where we read through the Bible in 1 year together as a group. These things are out there. It's a way for you to touch base with us and to see what's going on in the ministry. It's a way for you to maybe put prayer requests in. It's maybe a way for you to see prayer requests that we have. So join us in the cyber world, but more importantly, come and join us out there. Guys, please come and see what's going on. Just a couple, 2.5, 3 hours at a banquet is not enough for you to understand what the love of Christ can do in people's lives. Thank you for everything.
I have the privilege of going over to Coastal Harbor. I wish I knew off the top of my head how long I've been doing this, but it's been this morning. Five, six years, seven, like that. Anyway, I have seen a lot of kids going through Coastal Harbor. I have never experienced such darkness. You know, Brandon and Ronnie spoke about the enemy. Unfortunately, the enemy has a grip on a bunch of these kids, and it is heartbreaking. And we know that the only thing that will get them out of that darkness is what? The light of Christ. And so that's what we're doing. We're just going in and we're sharing the gospel with these kids. We started, Esther, please stand up. A lot of you know Esther. Esther is my partner in crime. She goes with me, and we do Bible studies on Monday nights. And then she said, this is her idea, so I cannot take credit for this. She said, why don't we do manicure and pedicures for their birthdays? So I said, well, let's talk to the nurse. So she talked to the head nurse. She said, that would be great. Esther can do that because she's a licensed cosmetologist. So we go in there, which lately I've been taking care of my mom because she's sick, so Esther's been going by herself. But usually I'll go with her. And we go in and we can see some of the kids that don't come to Bible study because it's not mandatory. So all of them don't have to come to Bible study. So some of them won't. But who wants to turn down a manicure and pedicure? They'll all come for that. So we get a chance to meet them, to talk to them. And, you know, I usually bring my little music box and play some music and we talk to them. And we're able sometimes to even, like, share the gospel with them. Now we have several of the girls that before the manicure and pedicure, they didn't come to Bible study. Now they're coming to Bible study. So it has been a wonderful tool to get to know some of these girls and get them come and have them get to know us and feel safe with us and come into Bible study. You got to realize these kids don't feel like they can trust anybody. Most of them have never had anyone that they can trust. And so it's hard when we come in there and they just think, well, you know, what are they going to do for me? So that has been a true blessing to be able to go and do that. One of the nurses at Coastal Harbor asked some of the kids what it meant to them that we go in there, Ronnie and Esther and I, and anyone else who is coming and help, that we go in there and do Bible studies and church services with them. And I'm going to read a couple of the responses. There's about 3 responses that I'm going to read. The first one, it helps me keep my faith and stay positive. We all need Jesus. Learning about Jesus is making me believe. Before, I didn't. Helps me better understand and come closer to God. So these are responses out of their mouths of, you know, us coming in there and sharing the gospel with them. We've received a couple of letters from some of the girls that have gone home. And one of the girls, I'm just going to read a little snippet out of her letter. But at the end of her letter, before I read this, this little girl is, she was such a cute little girl, and she always loved coming to Bible studies. And she got saved while she was there at Crystal Harbor. And she said, she wrote the letter, and she said, I never got the chance to thank you for what you guys did, helping me get through a rough patch. I won't lie and say life is great, but it will be one day at a time. And then she wrote a Bible scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. And that just blesses my heart to know that this child, she, one little quick story, the day after she got saved, she was on the phone with her mother, and she said, Mom, I've got a Bible, and I got saved, and she was all excited to tell her mom about it, and her mom said, well, we're a Catholic. And she said, well, I want to be Christian. So she evidently didn't even know she was Catholic, so that tells you when that they were even going to church or anything. So, but she was a sweet little girl, and she was one of those that, you know, she had been cutting, she had been going through a rough patch, and we had another girl that was dealing there, she was dealing with self-harming. She was cutting herself, which most of them do. We see cuts all over their arms, their legs, all over. They just carve things in them. But she was there. She was dealing with depression and self-harming due to being raped. And she got saved one night at a Bible study. And several weeks later, she said, I'm not cutting anymore. I don't want to cut anymore because I'm a new creation in Christ. And Jesus does have the power to change us.
You want me to share that?
Okay. Sorry, I know it's getting late, but Marty wants me to share this this last story. There's a girl there. She's not at Coastal Harbor anymore. But she was really dealing with some heavy, heavy stuff. She dealt with witchcraft in her room, and she was really dealing with a lot. She heard voices. So I was started the Bible study, and this one particular night, Esther could not come with me. And so I was in there by myself, and they did not have a staff in there. Usually they're supposed to have a staff in there, but sometimes they don't. I think they've gotten kind of used to us, and so they don't always have them in there. And I had started, and this girl came to the door, knocked on the door, and wanted to come in. And so I let her in. I tried to hand her a Bible, and she said, no, I don't want it. I said, okay, we'll have a seat. And she wouldn't sit down. And I said, well, have a seat. So I went back to where I originally was and started to try to teach the Bible study, and she just kept staring at me. And she had this smile on her face, but it was a very, very blank look. Very blank. I've never seen anything like that before. And she just stood there and stared at me and was rubbing her legs. And one of the other girls knew something was up. So she came, and she was trying to get her out of the room. And when she grabbed her and tried to get out of the room, she goes, no, I have to hit the Bible lady. I have to hit the Bible lady. And she kept saying it. And I'm like, I guess I'm the Bible lady, and the door is behind her. And I was trapped. And so all the girls got up and was trying to hold her back, and they couldn't. and she came after me and just pounded on me until the staff came in and got her. And it was really, really a sad situation. This girl was really struggling with some really deep, dark stuff. I continued the Bible study, even though my head was killing me. I said, let's pray, because the girls were all upset, and I was like shaking, and I said, let's pray, and we prayed, for this girl, and God gave me the strength to continue the Bible study, and about halfway through the Bible study, this other girl started crying. Now, let me pause a second and tell you about this other girl. This other girl had told us several weeks prior to this that her mother was in Satan. Her and her mother were Satan worshipers. So that her mother had gotten out of it, but she was kind of still on the fence. She really didn't know what to believe. Well, this girl starts crying. And I said, sweetie, are you okay? And she said, no. I said, what's wrong? I want Jesus to save me. And she bowed down right there in the midst of the other girls, and we prayed, and she received Christ.
Amen.
So Satan was working. He was trying to stop that Bible study, and I am just thankful that God gave me the strength to continue with that night. Those are just some of the things that we deal with. We do, like they said, we do need your prayers. It is a hard ministry, but it is such a blessing at times to see the light come on in their eyes. And I'm going to kind of transition from that to our closing. I hope that you have enjoyed hearing about all the different areas of ministry, the areas that we reach. His Love Ministries is just, we don't just minister to a single group. We're just kind of all over the place. And we're seeing lives changed, not because of us, but because of Christ. And Romans 10:14 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So God calls us to tell others about him. And I would like to take a moment to just challenge you to come alongside of us and partner with us, whatever that looks like, whether that looks like volunteering your time, whether that looks like supporting us financially, or praying for us. And like I said, that card that I had you fill out in the very beginning, if you finish filling out your card, if you will put it in that envelope, and like I said, if there are any donations, those envelopes that's where they go. Also, in your paperwork, there is a paper that shows you how quickly to tell you. If you shop at Kroger, we are part of their Kroger Community Rewards. So if you shop at Kroger's, you can go online, and through your Kroger card, you can sign up for the community rewards and put His Love Ministries down. And every time that you shop at Kroger's, it'll give a percentage to His Love Ministries. And it doesn't take away from your rewards at all. It's just an extra added bonus. And then also Amazon Smile, and if you shop with Amazon, if you go on to Amazon Smile, I think you can get all the same stuff. But if you if you go on, log on to Amazon Smile, and then you can find His Love Ministry. Make sure that it's the one in Savannah, because there are a couple other His Love Ministries. And that's a way, too, because they'll give a percentage to His Love Ministries when you shop.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.